Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I am your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome back.
I got you with that one.
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. We have been off for 2 weeks. Is that right?
Two weeks.
Yeah, I think we've had two weeks of no podcast which is weird for us because this is a weekly podcast. We try to do one at least a week, but sometimes we run into some stuff where we just can't, and life has been crazy busy this last month or so.
Yeah.
Valerie and I have our oldest daughter, Olivia, graduating high school and all that comes with that, and baseball for our middle son, and it's dance recital season as well for our daughter, and life has just been insane. So we had to take a little bit of a break going into this new series. So,
and I got sick last week.
Yeah,
so.
and we're all getting ready to do a little bit of traveling. Steph and her husband are headed out, and Valerie and I and the kids are going all over the place for different stuff with our kids and whatnot. And so it's just been a wild ride the last couple of months, and so we really haven't had a. Like 204 was our last episode, but it wasn't a real episode.
It was just like a teaser.
It was just a teaser of this episode that has teased out now for 3 or 4 weeks as we got ready for this one.
Feels so like 3 or 4 weeks.
I think it's been 3 or 4 since we recorded.
Yeah.
But it's been 2 weeks with no episode. So we're back. We should be good to go for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kick off a new series today.
Yes, it's called.
Did you hear my voice crack? Series.
Yeah.
A series.
You notice I kept moving?
You just kept rolling. my son's voice crack all the time because he's 13.
Oh, yeah.
But he likes to make fun of mine when it cracks, right? So he's like, oh, Dad, your voice cracked. You going through puberty? Like, no, son, it just happens. So anyway, so new series today. Steph, tell us what we're doing.
It's called Any Questions? And this is episode 205. So 205. We were basically putting the feeler out there, asking people, like, what kind of questions do you have for us?
Yeah, we had this on our list of possible ideas of, you know, just letting people ask questions and us doing that, especially through the summer or something, you know, like good time for it to be each episode's a little different. Right. And so we get questions all the time. And as a pastor, I get questions all the time that sometimes can be addressed in messages. Sometimes are addressed in meetings or private conversations. And then some of them that would be really good to do on the podcast. And so we've just been compiling questions. A bunch of you guys have asked questions on our social media profiles and stuff. So we just started pulling some of them. We're not going to be able to answer all of them, of course, otherwise this series would last forever. But we went ahead and pulled some, and we figured we'd start just answering them. So we're going to hit one up each episode, and hopefully it will apply to you. And if it doesn't, don't worry, because the next question will be different, and you can go to that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know what I mean? So if you do have questions, please feel free to ask them. Best place to do that is just to head over to our social stuff, Facebook and Instagram, and throw them up there. That's usually the best way. So, and you can do that through, you can do it publicly. You can also do it as a private message, and we're cool with that too.
Yeah.
And if the questions seem a little personal, we won't share who asked it. And if they don't seem personal, we're going to share who asked it. And so, I think it'll be cool. So we're going to kick this one off. Any questions? We're going to do this. I don't know how long we're going to do it. We'll do it however many questions we think are, you know,
yeah,
the right place to answer them on the podcast, right? And so Steph and I are recording today, and we'll probably record several of them, and they'll come out as these next episodes. So 205 today, kicking off any questions. What's our first question, Steph? I like this question because it's not like uber personal or whatever. We'll start off with sort of a generalized question about church. What's the question?
So our first question is from Sarah Myers. It is, why are there so many Christian religions?
Yeah, and she gives the example there of a couple, what she means by Christian religions in parentheses. What's the example she gives?
Baptist, Methodist, etc.
Yeah. So obviously she's not really asking religions. That's why she put them in quotes. So why are there so many Christian? What she means there is the word denominations. Mm-hmm. Why are there so many different sects or groups of Christians? Why is it so different? Like, in other words, why is the church, why are there so many different churches or belief basis is in the church. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So why have we as people sort of in one church then separated ourselves off into different factions or groups within this larger church? So great question. And not a lot of people know some of the generalized history behind the Protestant church. That's what she's referring to. She's referring to Protestantism. So when you look at, when you talk about, especially in America, but it's also worldwide, when you talk about different types of churches, you're referring to Protestant churches. And then you have opposite of that, separate from that, you have the Catholic Church. So if you'll notice in the Catholic Church, those churches are everywhere, but they're all the Holy Catholic Church. But in Protestantism, you have different groupings of churches, different churches and different groupings of churches that fall into what we call denominations. And so denominations are exclusively a Protestant thing. It's not a Catholic thing. So the rise of denominations within the Christian faith, you trace it all the way back to the Protestant Reformation. That's why it's called Protestantism. And so that was the movement to reform the Roman Catholic Church during the 16th century, right? And that's where most of that is attributed to Martin Luther and the Great Reformation, where he nails the 99 Theses to the door and all this stuff. And he's considered the father of the Great Reformation of the Catholic Church. But there was lots and lots of people involved in the Reformation. It was basically a time where people said, you know what? The Catholic Church seems there's these problems here. There's these belief issues. There seems to be some corruption. One of Martin Luther's big themes about the Reformation was that you had to be a priest, and to really understand or be involved in the word. Right. And so this idea was that Martin Luther coined this phrase of the priesthood of all believers, that we're all priests, everybody should have access to the word, and everybody should be leading that in the world as believers. You know what I mean? So this big reformation against what can be seen as corruption and also sort of holding the people down in regard to their involvement in the faith. And so there's this big reformation that happened that's how you ended up getting Protestant churches. And so in the beginning, there were four sort of major divisions of Protestantism that emerged early. It was Lutheran, of course, because Martin Luther, what you'd call the Reformed group, Anabaptist, which is where we end up with our Baptist denomination, and Anglican. And then from those main four, over the course of centuries leading up to now, you saw some different churches grow out of those, or denominations would come from those groupings to begin with, right? So in other words, the Catholic Church was there, and then there was this big Reformation that happened in the 16th century that then led to what you would now know as your denominations today. And so, like, the Lutheran denomination was obviously named after Martin Luther, and it was based on his teachings. Then the Methodists, for example, they get their name because their founder, John Wesley, was really famous for coming up with methods, being very methodical for spiritual growth. Like, how do I grow as a Christian? He would come up with these methods. And so that's where that term Methodist ends up coming from John Wesley and his brother Charles Wesley, who sort of founded what we now know as Methodism. And then you've got like the Presbyterians. They get their name for their view on church leadership. So they see church leadership as happening in a particular way. And the Greek word for elder is presbyteros, right? Which is where you get Presbyterian from. Baptists got their name because they have always emphasized the importance of believers being baptized. And so in the Baptist denomination, for example, baptism is a really big thing. And so that's where they get that phrase from. Each denomination has sort of a slightly different doctrine or emphasis from the others, like, for example, such as the method of baptism, right? And so denominations started forming because they had a different emphasis or belief about a certain piece, or a different doctrine. So like baptism, for example, would be one of those ones that would cause people to, like, for example, Methodists baptize babies, Baptists don't baptize babies. Does that make sense? You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So you'd have to sort of different emphasis on those things. Another one that was sort of a sticking point that made denominations be a little different was the availability of the Lord's Supper or communion. to whether or not the table is open to anybody, or if those people who say they believe, it has to be verified through, you know, are they actually followers of Jesus and that kind of stuff. The sovereignty of God versus free will in the matter of salvation, the future of Israel and the church, what that looks like, that's been a belief or a doctrine that sort of made denominations separate or split on their beliefs. And then pre-tribulation, post-tribulation rapture related stuff like, you know, is the church here before tribulation? Is the church not here when tribulation happens? Sort of interpretation of end times stuff, right? Has caused some different denominations to form. The existence or the sign of spiritual gifts in the modern church. So the belief that certain what they would call miraculous gifts, I don't like that term. Mm-hmm. When you start talking about like the gift of healing and the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, and you start calling those miraculous, then all of a sudden you're saying that the other spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit are not miraculous, right? Which is crazy because they're all miraculous. Mm-hmm. But those particular gifts, what we call the sign gifts, I think it's a better term. Some denominations have formed based on what they believe about that, right? So some groups don't believe that those things still exist, right? So like, for example, a Baptist belief, traditional Baptist belief, is that those particular sign gifts died off when the apostles did, right? And that they're not active anymore. Does that make sense? And then there's other denominations that don't necessarily believe that. And it's just so on, like so many other beliefs that are like that. And so denominations have basically formed because of that reason. And also like worship styles and techniques. And so there are some that are more proper, right? And so you're going to use, you know, robes, and there's certain liturgy that's followed, right? And then other denominations have said, you know, we want to go a different way with that worship style piece. And so you got two different kinds of reasons that denominations would form, or different church styles would form. Worship related stuff, style stuff, and then doctrinal beliefs. And so that's kind of why we end up having this, is because, you know, there would be this kind of split that happened. Well, we don't believe this particular doctrine, and so we're going to form our own denomination. And then that would form based on those things. And so there's some problems, though, obviously, with the fact that we have denominations to begin with. Now, it's a good thing that, how do I say this the right way? Like, the diversity of expression in the church is an amazing thing. It's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, the fact that different people expressing themselves different ways in God's church. It makes it a beautiful tapestry, right? And it's amazing. It's beautiful, right? There are some people that worship this way, some people that worship this way, right? All that's a beautiful thing. And so when we are separating ourselves into a particular denominational group or clique or whatever you want to call it, right? Clique's a bad word. I don't mean it that way, but
I know what you're trying to say. A group,
like, different group,
yeah.
Based on stuff like worship style or preference, awesome. When all of a sudden it's all these divisions based on beliefs, then it starts to be kind of a problem, right? So there's some issues with denominations. The first one, denominations are basically based out of disagreements over the interpretation of Scripture, right? That's how they kind of form. We see the Scripture saying this, we don't agree with you at saying this, and so we're going to form based on that. So denominations have formed based on disagreements, and that's a bad thing. Like, an example would be, like I said before, the purpose of baptism, right? That would be an example. We start to believe this, y'all believe this, so we end up splitting into different groupings or churches. Is baptism a requirement for salvation? Is it symbolic of the salvation process? You know, and so we believe a little bit different stuff. And there's denominations on both sides of that issue. And there end up being denominations on both sides of most issues. And so baptism, for example, has been a central disagreement sticking point amongst churches for a very long time. And it has caused multiple disagreements, and therefore the best word to say is divisions, mm-hmm. in the church that have ended up causing them to split into different denominational, you know, new denominations, separation of churches that have happened. So that's a problem, because everything has risen out of disagreement, right? And so we disagree on this, and so we now are not in the same church. We're going to form different churches. That's an issue. Another one is that when we start to disagree about interpretation of Scripture, people start to take it personally, And now it's this contention problem, right?
So true.
So now it's, well, we believe this, which means we're right and you're wrong. And so you got, I'm just going to make up some stuff. I'm not picking on nobody. You got the Baptists looking at the Methodists telling them they're wrong, right? You got the Methodists looking at the Presbyterians and telling them they're wrong. You got the Presbyterians looking at the Pentecostals and telling them they're wrong. You know what I mean? I'm just randomly picking stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So it ends up being these points of contention, which is really a problem because it leads to... It leads to arguments and us fighting with each other, which then damages our real witness of the church in the world, right? So people outside of the church see that this one believes this one, this one believes this one, this one believes this one, and then they get mad at each other, right? And so we don't know what to believe. We don't know what's right. It starts to damage the witness. That's a problem. And here's where I'm getting at is that the biggest problem with denominations is that the church should be able to resolve its differences inside the body. But once again, history tells us that we can't. And so what happens is that we don't resolve our differences on what we believe, or we're not okay with being one church where we all believe a little bit differently about certain, I would call them secondary issues,
mm-hmm.
right? And then those little secondary issues end up causing us to split off and then form different denominations, right? So it's a real, I don't know if I'm answering the question right, but it's a real difficult thing to say, is there good or is it good or is it bad that there's mm-hmm. denominations? Well, I think it's both, just like everything we do as human beings, right? That there's good that we would have different representations in the body of Christ, different styles, different things, and yet we're still one big church. But there's bad because we should be able to not be divided over stuff that we disagree on in the interpretation of Scripture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like Jesus' last prayer for people, for us. And by the way, he prays for the disciples and he also prays for those to come in the future, which will be us. So Jesus' last prayer for you and me, Steph, not just some arbitrary thing that he was praying for those people back then, but his specific last prayer for us before he's crucified is that we would be unified, right? That there would be unity. So obviously we're going to disagree on some stuff. Obviously, all of us, a lot of the scriptural pieces is open to interpretation. How do you interpret this? We should be able to have those disagreements and not be divided and still be unified. You know what I mean? Like that should be the goal. And unfortunately, what we end up doing as people is we end up getting stuck on those things and then we allow them to divide us. So much so where we create separate denominations and groups and then lob stones back at the other denomination because they believe a certain way of interpreting something about, you know, what is almost always a secondary issue. Like,
yeah.
What are the primary issues? I mean, like, what are the primary things that we got to agree on in Christ's holy church? Well, that Christ is the head of the church, that he has died for our sins, rose from the grave, that he is the way in which we would become whole and united and cleaned up before God. You know what I mean? Like those kind of things are crucial. Is baptism a crucial piece? Yes, baptism is an important piece because Jesus tells us, go and make disciples and baptize them. All right. Now, the specifics of baptism, for example, is a little more open to interpretation, right? And so just because we disagree on exactly what baptism symbolizes or when does it actually happen in a person's life and what age do they need to be for it and all those things, or how much water, right? I mean, there's denominations that use a small amount of water. There's denominations that use a bunch. And the ones that use a bunch are usually mad at the ones that use a little because they should use a bunch, right?
Yeah. So,
but those things should not divide us, right? Because they're, once again, they're secondary issues. And then you get into also like, and this is going to be something people are going to be mad about, the way I say it. Some people get really upset about this, is what sins are sins, right? What is a sin? What is not a sin? And so some people are going to interpret that certain things are not sinful, and some people are going to interpret that certain things are sinful, right? And so, you know, how do we still be unified as Christ's holy church? Because the way Jesus sees, you need to understand the way Jesus sees this is that he has one church.
Yeah.
Not that he has 46 different denominations and one denomination's right. You know what I mean? Like the way I see it is that we're all wrong in some way. And I think that when we get before the Lord, when it's all done and settled and we're home, you know what I mean? And we're in front of him and we got all these questions we think we're going to ask. What we're going to realize is, the way David Crowder says this is we're going to realize how easy it actually is and how hard we made it be. And that most of us are wrong, right?
Yeah.
I think we're going to get up and be like, so we were right about the baptism thing. And he's going to be like, actually, you were wrong. And they're going to be like, oh, that means we were right. And he's going to be like, actually, you were all wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that's that kind of how it's going to be. But that's why we have different. The main reason that you have different denominations is because of the Reformation that happens that creates Protestantism. And then in Protestantism, the reason you have different denominations is because we become divided over worship styles or specific scriptural interpretations and doctrines. That's why, right? But overall, whether you agree with your Pentecostal brothers or not on how they interpret scripture based on gifts of the Spirit, or whether you agree with the Presbyterian Church on how they execute and handle leadership, or whether you agree with the church based on what they believe about eternal salvation, right? Eternal security. Whether you disagree or not, we are one church, right? One whole big church. And as long as we agree on the primary stuff, like, for example, that Jesus is it, right?
Yeah.
We have to be fighting for unity, not division. But that's why it exists. Denominations exist primarily because of disagreements that have led to division.
And this is what it's like to be a human.
Yep, it's exactly right. Exactly right. And so just in case anybody's wondering, because people are going to wonder this, our church is a non-denominational church. We are not affiliated with any particular denomination. And so when people get to saying, well, what does that really mean? What do you really mean? We're like, well, I can tell you what we believe, but what I feel like we identify with is, I think we identify as a church, I think we're kind of Bapticostal is what I call it. Mm-hmm. We're kind of Bapticostal. We have some primary theological beliefs that are more rooted in what you would consider Baptist tradition, and then we have some primary theological beliefs that are rooted in what you would call the Pentecostal tradition. You know what I mean? So interpretation of giftings and things like that. And then also the emphasis on the importance of baptism and evangelism and those things like that. Right. But there are certain pieces that will come from all the main non-denominations that we pay attention. I grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up in an independent Baptist church. See, this is the funny thing about denominations is that you got Baptists, but then you got a bunch of sub-denominations under that. You got Southern Baptists, you got independent Baptists, you got primitive Baptists, you got fire Baptists, you got all kinds of different Baptists. Like, those are disagreements and divisions that have happened amongst already one that has divided into. So, you know, you got the Baptists at one point that divided off, and then you got Baptists underneath those that have divided off again. You know what I'm saying? So, I grew up in a Baptist church. I was my first place in ministry, what we would call an ecumenical ministry. Ecumenical is just a fancy word for a bunch of different denominations worshiping together. And then I was a pastor in a Methodist church. And then I went to a non-denominational church and served. And then we planted a non-denominational church, right? So very much a mixture. You would call us a mutt. That's what we are. We're a mutt, right? Different bunch of different breeds put together. That's what we are. And I think that for the most part, there are certain doctrinal beliefs that I believed as a kid that were more in line with a specific denomination that as I grew and I studied more and I got more experience and I listened to other people, I realized that maybe I was interpreting that wrong and those things have changed over time. But I try not to get caught up in the denominationalism stuff because I think what it ends up leading to more is less unity that Jesus wanted and more division.
Yeah. Right?
And so I think what we do is you follow you follow a person, people, leadership that you follow that can tell you how they interpret what they believe, but then you have to interpret on your own. And then you have to end up deciding that, can I still be a part of a church where I interpret something a little bit different? I mean, the answer would be yes, because in Jesus' holy church, that's what it looks like. So don't allow secondary issues to create ultimate divisions that end up, you know, inspiring hate. There's a lot of hate that has caused by denominational splits where different denominations are slinging grenades at the other one, right? We don't want to go that route. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, great question. I love stuff like this. There's a there's a lot of awesome church history, and the majority of the history that we're talking about here is the last 600 years or so. Almost all of this that we see now is mainline Protestantism. It's only been about 600 years.
Goodness gracious.
So, anyway, great question. Thank you, Sarah Myers. This, if I'm not mistaken, so I'm looking at the notes, this is Sarah Myers who attends our Caswell campus in Yanceyville. I'm pretty sure that's who that is. So, thank you for the question, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
Anything you want to add, Steph? I just kind of took over.
No,
sorry.
Just a thank you. No, I could I help her with that? No, that was all you.
I think if Sarah wants to, or anybody else who's not completely bored by now, listen to this one. If Sarah wants to, I think you should study. I think every Christian should study the, you know, and briefly, I don't mean like an intense study.
Yeah.
The primary beliefs, primary doctrinal beliefs, and let's say worship practices or liturgy of each mainline Protestant denomination. So you know them. I think you should. And you shouldn't do it from a judgmental standpoint. You should just know, all right, this is what they primarily believe.
Yeah.
And this is how this differs from this one, right? This is how this differs from this one. You know, those kind of things. So.
Well, that was great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the history.
Yeah, it's fun. I like talking about stuff like that. So when I saw this question, I was like, oh, yeah, I got this. No problem.
So I got this in the bag.
I got this one. One of my favorite classes ever that I took in college when I was studying pastoral ministry, or biblical studies was a major. Pastoral studies was the major. One of my favorite ones was a class on denominations. We had a book we had to read on every single mainline denomination. There's a bunch of them. It depends on who you ask, but about 8 to 12 different mainline denominations. And that was one of my favorite classes, just to know it, right? You just got to make sure that when you're reading through it, you try not to judge as you're reading it, right? Oh, they're stupid. They believe this, right?
Because it's natural, I think, to do that with anything. You do have to check yourself.
You have to. And that's just the fact that we become so divided that we will separate off into different groups based on the specific interpretation of scripture or doctrinal beliefs. The fact that we would do that points to the innate sinfulness of us as humans and the fact that we desperately all need Jesus. You know what I mean? And that one day he is going to perfect his bride, right? The church. And you better get used to, like, you better get used to things that are a little different, because all of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, right, who Jesus is Lord and Savior, all of us are going to end up hanging out together in eternity, right? So you're going to be rubbing elbows with a Pentecostal, and you're going to be rubbing elbows with a Baptist and stuff like that. So you might want to get it together here on earth as practice for eternity. So anyway.
Well, that's true. I'm sorry, I don't know what else to say to that.
But thank you, Sarah, for the question.
Yes, thank you, Sarah.
And we'll be back next week for another one.
Yep. We will.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to continuing this series.
Yes.
There's a lot of great questions, and we're also going to have some guest speakers. So look forward to that.
And if you have a question, throw them our way.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Y'all.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.